see you out tonight. If you care to read along with me, turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. Excuse me. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way, excuse me, which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. John Bunyan, who wrote the famous Pilgrim's Progress, wrote some literature, hymns, and poems as well. He wrote this is a stanza from something he wrote about sin. Sin is a prison, hath its bolts, its chains, brings into bondage whom it entertains, hangs shackles on them, binds them to its will, holds them as Samson grinding at the mill. The writer of this beautiful psalm is David. And it was written as a result of a fall that he had. Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 are connected. He went on for 2 years away from God, not enjoying fellowship with God. And then God sent the prophet Nathan to him. And God brought to David's heart his guilt. David always knew he was guilty, but he was hiding from God. He confessed his sin. I have sinned, he said. God forgave him. He did suffer the consequences of his sin, but we have this lovely psalm as a result of that particular dark day in David's life. Thank you very much. It has to do with sin and the blessedness of having sins forgiven. We're probably all familiar, heard of the famous American actor, comedian, by the name of Chris Farley. He was born in 1964 and he died of a drug overdose in Chicago in 1997. He spent his last evening with some girl he had just met that night, and they went from bar to bar, club to club, and so on, and drinking, and I mentioned the drugs. They interviewed this woman who spent the last hours of his life with him, and there's something he said that she related to the reporters. It was in the newspaper, and it was this: "There's only one in control. He'll take me when he wants me. I only hope he will forgive my sins." That's a rather sad statement to read in the newspaper after someone has gone out into eternity. It doesn't sound from that statement that Chris Farley understood there was forgiveness for him in Christ to those who will acknowledge, which he did, who will acknowledge their sins before God and seek the forgiveness that is found in Christ prior to dying. There is no forgiveness of sins after we leave. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Many of us here in this room tonight can look back to a time of forgiveness in our lives. When we came, stained with sin, to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and we were burdened about the matter of our sin. It is sin that separates us from God. The reason men and women in this world, young and old, become unhappier the longer they live is because the longer they live, the longer they linger in their sins, estranged from God, and guilt accumulates, and it becomes a great burden. David was burdened, and he began the psalm with "Blessed." Blessed is that person whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man, in verse number 2, or the woman. Everyone must have a time when sin and transgression, the breaking of God's laws, are forgiven by God himself. That is the reason for the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. If we read in tonight, it's in your Bibles, in Psalm 53, it tells us there prophetically, Isaiah writing 7 centuries before the Lord Jesus Christ came upon this earth, that he would be wounded for our transgressions, and he would be bruised for our iniquities. Psalm 22 was written by David. It is the most holy psalm, perhaps the holiest of all. Crucifixion is described in Psalm 22 in detail. They pierced my hands and my feet, bones out of joint, the cry for thirst, for water, for thirst. And in that psalm, the Lord Jesus Christ is depicted. It is him David is writing about. The first verse of Psalm 22 is the very cry that the Lord Jesus Christ cried out from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by his Father, by God in his holiness, as he hung upon the cross in darkness. And the reason, he tells us in Psalm 22, but thou art holy. God is holy. Sin must be judged. The Lord Jesus Christ took our place there. He becomes your substitute when you believe on him. When we look at Calvary, the place of a skull, when we read in the four Gospels at their conclusion of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, we get just a small glimpse of the anguish and the pain that he must have endured in the darkness. We can relate to the physical sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we cannot relate to his suffering for my sin and for your sin. We'd like you to think about that tonight. How terrible it would be for someone to be here this evening in this room who has never had a time of forgiveness. And you have all eternity. You'll have all eternity to think about being in this place tonight and once again having this solemn matter of your sins brought before you. People shrug their shoulders and say, well, we've all sinned. We're all sinners. And that is very true. But I'm not accountable to God for anybody else's sin. And neither are you. I'm accountable to God for my sin. And you, dear friend, are accountable to God for your sin. And if you die in your sin, you will have remained indifferent to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for you on the cross that you might be forgiven. It's the time when an individual becomes fully aware of the multitude of sins laid to his charge, to her charge, and is convinced of the truth of the Scriptures that these sins, my sins, must be forgiven. They must be blotted out. Professor Tholuck taught at the University of Halle. He was asked on his 50th anniversary. He was a Christian man, and they asked him what he regarded as the greatest blessing, apart from the gift of Christ as Savior, that God had ever bestowed upon him. And this very intelligent man, very learned man, said this: a conviction of sin. That is a blessing from God. When I become convicted about my sin, a time when I can't enjoy the things I used to enjoy. I can remember very well the time in my life in 1980 when I became convicted by God's Holy Spirit, and that's his work, to convict us of our sins, to convict you of your sins through the preaching of the gospel and in the general dealings of life with you. after I heard the gospel proclaimed, and I had read some booklets about God's way of salvation, everything was different for me. And I just couldn't seem to enjoy my sin as I once did. I would sit in the tavern with my friends or the club, and it wasn't the same for me. I didn't enjoy the evening as I did for the past 16, 17 years. To me, that was the ultimate good time. And now, it was sin to me. That was a blessed time in my life. If God convicts you of your sin tonight as you sit in this gospel meeting, you are a very blessed individual, because it's only those who become convicted about their sin that will ever see their need of forgiveness. Friend, you need God's forgiveness. What a price was paid to procure forgiveness for sinners. God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on a cross of shame, fastened there with nails, his visage marred more than any man, a crown of thorns upon his head, plummeting down into the darkness. So awful must that have been that in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read that he prayed to his Father, being in an agony, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, that if it were possible, Father, if it is possible to let this cup that I'm about to drink, Calvary, pass from me, let it pass from me, Father. But there was no other way. And then he added every time, he prayed that prayer three times to emphasize for us, perhaps, recorded the awfulness of what he was about to go through for you and for me in the darkness. God punished him. Is it nothing, prophetically, Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 1, all ye that pass by, is it nothing to you? He talks about his sorrow as one having sorrow like no other ever experienced sorrow. And he says, is it nothing to you? Are you just going to pass by the cross again tonight and walk out the door and have it mean nothing to you? Friend, it was for you. And one of these days, friend, you've got to wake up. You've got to wake up out of your sleep of death, asleep in sin. The gospel's intended to awaken sinners to their need of Christ, to look up and see him on the cross for me, and finally come to him. Come to him by faith. Kneel at his feet and seek that forgiveness that may be found tonight. No guarantee of tomorrow for you or me. I'm already saved. I thank God every day of my life that I am saved. My sins are forgiven. I have a time of forgiveness I can look back to. And the Bible says that my sins were cast into the depths of the sea. They were removed from me as far as the east is from the west, made whiter than snow, positionally in God's eyes. And friend, you're either seen by God tonight as whiter than snow, cleansed of all your sin, or he sees you blotted with sin after sin after sin, stained with sin. Acts 13:38, It says, be it known unto you therefore that through this man, and no other man, no other person, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. On Christmas Day in 1943, the 1st Marine Division veterans of Guadalcanal carried out a surprise invasion of Cape Gloucester, New Britain. Many soldiers were wounded. Many were killed. Many were wounded. And a chaplain was called in to this very crudely patched tent that served as a makeshift hospital to see one man in particular. He made his way there. There were about 20 other men wounded in that tent. But all eyes were on this young man. And as he entered the hospital tent, this evangelist, he was greeted by the crying and agonizing sobs of a young man, and he repeated over and over again these words, "My God, my sins, my God, my sins." That's all he said. Now there's a man who was convicted about his sins. He knows he's about to die. God was good to that young man. He could have been cut down in the battlefield without any time to cry out to God. God always hears the earnest cry of a sinner. There was an uneasiness in that tent, of course. All the other men were disturbed. They were tense. And they all watched as this chaplain approached this young man, and he cried out again, "My God, my sins." And through sheer exhaustion, he became silent. The chaplain knelt down by his bed and he prayed, "Lord, help me reach this lad for thee. Open his heart to the gospel for Jesus' sake. Amen." Now he repeated something over and over again to the young man. And it was the verse that I just quoted. Acts 13, 38, 39. He repeated them in the ear of this young man who lay with his eyes closed and slowly dying, nearing the end of his life. "Be it known unto you therefore, young man, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things." There's a full pardon for everyone who comes. The dying man turned his head slowly and looked at the chaplain, and the chaplain could see hope in the young man's eyes that were beforehand hopeless. All he saw were his sins shutting him out from a holy God, and he knew hell must be his portion for all eternity. Tears came to his eyes, and he obviously had repented of his sin. He was burdened about his sin, convicted about his sin, and he turned in his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation takes place in your heart. There's no magic prayer to say. There's no repeat after me. And a congratulations, you're in the family of God. It doesn't work that way. God knows your heart. We can say anything. I can say I believe and not believe. I can say I believe and never have repented of my sin. I can't have both. This man in his heart believed, and he haltingly prayed, O God, forgive my sins and save my soul for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the chaplain said there was a divine peace that filled that hospital tent. All tension seemed to be gone. This is before all the other soldiers witnessing this miracle take place. Then he turned to the chaplain and he said, May I pray once more? He said, Of course you may. Now notice the difference in his prayer. Oh, my Father. He understood the Spirit of God speaking directly to this young man's heart. He's your Father now. He's your Father. He's not a holy God far off in heaven and you down here in your sins. No longer, because you've repented, young man. You have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew this. And he said, Oh, my Father, I thank thee that thou hast forgiven me. Not will you forgive me. I thank you that thou hast forgiven me my sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Within the hour, he went out into eternity, into glory, to be with his Savior. He understood the verse the chaplain quoted. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness for you. All your sins, yesterday's, today's, and the ones you haven't even committed yet under the blood. Someone says, well, does that give me a free license to sin? I'll still be saved. Yes, once you're saved, but if you're truly saved, you will have an entirely different outlook on sin, and you will not want to sin. And if you do sin, you'll be so convicted. And the marvelous thing is we receive deliverance the moment I'm saved from the power of sin in my life. I'm not the same person. I have new desires and new interests. That's being born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, if you're truly saved, all things pass away. And Paul says, behold, there's something for you to see in this individual. All things become new, and they will in your life. It'll be no different for you than for anyone else in this room who has that time of forgiveness. Blessed means extremely blessed. Happy, a joy that cannot be hid. That's what this word means. It's a joy that cannot be hid. Your friends, your family will see it in you, and they'll know something marvelous has happened to you. It'll be your delight to tell them what happened. Forgiven. The takeaway guilt, to forgive, to pardon an offender. Complete pardon. And that individual is now treated by God as though they never even sinned. You're in my family. You're in my son. You're my child. And I'm your Father throughout all eternity. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin. Accept, admit the truth. That's what one must do to have that time of forgiveness. I acknowledge my sin, and I desire to be forgiven. in this psalm. We have a time of forgiveness. We have a time of finding. This is the time of finding. It's been going on now for over 2,000 calendar years. In a time when thou mayest be found. Now a time is coming when he will be sought for forgiveness of sins, but he will not be found. And I think deep down in the hearts of men and women, they all know that something is going to happen of great import. Everyone knows this world's in a turmoil. It's upside down. It's full of sin and wickedness and immorality and sin of the basest sort. Abominable things. And Satan rocking the world to sleep in sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning. He promised, I will come again when that last soul is saved. Then the time of finding will be over. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's a warning in that verse, isn't there? It's telling us there's going to be a time when he'll not be able to be found. He won't be there anymore. You won't be invited out to hear the gospel again. You'll be left behind for a maximum of 7 years. And that's when that time of flooding comes, which is mentioned here in this psalm. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. A busy businessman was offered a gospel tract on the street by a young Christian man. This is what he said. Ha, I have no time to think of such things. The Christian man felt exercised before God to respond to that. And he said, then God will give you eternity in which to think about them, sir. I've got to think about them. We're glad you've come out tonight. We trust you're thinking about them right now if you're not saved. You need the time of forgiveness. Tonight is a time of finding. He may be found tonight. He's near tonight. He's outside your heart's door tonight. Just waiting for you to finally say, enough. I've had enough of this world. The sinfulness of this world. My own sin. I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved, and I do not want to go on a moment longer in my sins. I want deliverance. I want pardon. I want to be cleansed, O God. And tonight he's near, and he's offering you once again a full pardon, forgiveness of sins. Mark 2 and 7, who can forgive sins but God only? Pharisees were right. Only God can forgive sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be God. Matthew 9 and 8, know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Ephesians 4:32, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. A country doctor had many patients come who were poor. They couldn't afford the medicine which he provided. They couldn't afford the treatment or to pay him for the visit. He was a very kind man. I do not know if he was a Christian man. He had a special pen Very special pen that he used for these particular accounts. And he'd dip it in the inkwell. And he'd write across them, "Forgiven, too poor to pay." Excuse me, and file it away. After the years went by and he became elderly, he left this life. Now his wife was not as kind or gracious as her husband. Now she came across boxes of these invoices written, "Forgiven, too poor to pay," and she looked and she saw the total, what it in her mind, she calculated this sum of money. And she said, "They owe me the money now. I'm his widow." See, actually, I suppose it wasn't too difficult to get a lawyer to take the case. She found one. They went to court. All the proceedings are beginning. Then the boxes are brought up of receipts, and the judge took out one and put it down, looked at it. "Forgiven, too poor to pay." He pulled out several. He said, "Are they all the same? Forgiven, too poor to pay. Is that what's written on them?" He's addressing the widow. She said, "Oh, yes." And he said to her, "Madam, no British law can alter what has been written. Case dismissed. In the husband's handwriting, forgiven, too poor to pay. If the doctor said forgiven, the one to whom the debt was paid, then they were forgiven and there was no money being transferred into his hands. Now God has declared in the Word of God, forgiven. Forgiveness for you tonight. Would you take him at his word? God cannot alter what is written. The British courts couldn't alter what was written by that doctor. And God in his holiness and utter righteousness cannot alter. And he said so in the Psalms, "I will not alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth." He won't. He can't. And I rejoice in that every day. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all sin. And again, it's imperative that your sins be forgiven. This is the time of finding for you. And again, after one leaves this life, there's no forgiveness found. That's why Isaiah 1:18, "Come now." 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." And if God has spoken to your heart tonight, now is the time, "Thus saith the Lord." Psalm 8:21, he said, "Ye shall seek me and find me." Ye shall seek me, rather, and die in your sins. And then he said this, "Whither I go, if you die in that condition, in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come." It's impossible for you to be in heaven. Psalm 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." Now he's ready to forgive you tonight. If you're ready to be forgiven, if you're ready to become a new man, a new woman, if you're ready, then come to Christ tonight. He's ready to forgive you. In this psalm we have a time of flooding. The floods of great waters, that's the judgment. A time of finality, great waters. There's a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. It's final. If you die without Christ, it's final. No hope. It's a time of failure. You understand, friend, please understand that you will have failed your whole life summed up failure because you did not fulfill the purpose for which God put you here. And that was to come to His Son. That's why you're here tonight. That's why God brought you here tonight. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. They weren't able to say, "Thou art my hiding place." The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be able to say tonight, "Lord Jesus, Thou art my hiding place." And how solemn. Isaiah 31 and 3, they all shall fail together. Unbelievers. There's a security guard at the regional hospital in St. John. I've gotten to know him a little bit through my mother being in there, who spent a lot of time in there through her sickness and her cancer and so on. I kept bumping into him, young man in his 30s, and I knew and he knew it wasn't by accident, because every time I talked to him and met him, I talked to him about Christ, and I gave him literature to read. Every time I saw him, something new. And there was something about that young man. I don't think he's saved yet, and I saw him about 3 weeks ago. Whenever I come out, he's there collecting the parking tickets. He always lets me go. He says, "Well, you know, you're an evangelist. I'm not going to charge you." So I said to him, "How are you?" And he said, "I'm just fine." And he's smiling. I said, "How are things with your soul?" And he really thought about it. He's that kind of a man. He doesn't use words carelessly. He thought about it and he said, "Well, I'm still waiting." So I asked him, "What is it that you're waiting for? What are you waiting for?" God says, "Come now. Come now." There's no waiting. Don't wait. The devil doesn't say there's no heaven or there's no hell. He says there's no hurry. And that's how he deceives multitudes who are in hell tonight, who will be in hell, because they keep putting it off. "I'm waiting. I'm waiting." Friend, there's nothing to wait for. It's the time of finding tonight. May God bless you. If we can be of any help to anyone, we'd be delighted to speak with you further at the meeting's conclusion. But again, the gospel is so simple, profound, life-changing. But it is simply, I repent of my sins and I believe, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I rest in His work and I rest on the promises of God. That's salvation. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in that worthy name of Thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ, we would come before Thee at the close of this meeting to thank Thee that this is still the time of finding. We pray that if perhaps there are any here tonight, Father, young or old, who have not yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would work a great work in their hearts, Father, that they might understand that time is running out. May they no longer be under the deception of Satan and their own deceitful hearts, but may they get the matter settled, Father, and come believing and become Thine for eternity. This we ask in the name and for His honor and glory, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.